This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, BFM. It is 7:21 in the morning. Now, we are following developments up north in Kuala Koa, Kelantan, involving Orang Asli from the Batik tribe. Yesterday, the police declared Kampung Kuala Koa a red zone and recall that there have been several deaths among the Orang Asli Batik tribe which reside there. The authorities have attributed the deaths to lung infection and pneumonia, but there were initially conflicting accounts about the number of deaths with some NGOs, putting the death toll at about 15, while the authorities at the time insisted that there were only two deaths.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're curious where Kuala Koa is, I mean, it's somewhere in the border, somewhere in the area of Gua Musang, which is at the end of the border of Kelantan. Activists are still trying to find out, or trying to, you know, are speaking about this issue despite this death being attributed to lung infection and pneumonia. They still don't know what's the leading cause of it. And some of the deteriorating conditions this tribe are having, because they've been living under, you know, due to pollution as a result of logging as well as mining activities in the area.
At the moment, the government and the police are on site trying to get the bottom of this. So the Red Zone Declaration essentially serves as a ban on the entry into the village, save for those who have permission to do so. Now, the district police chief, Superintendent Muhammad Taufik Maidin, said the move was not only to ensure the safety of the Orang Asli, but also the officers from various government agencies and outsiders. He says that only special officers on duty for the operation to locate the graves are allowed in the area. The graves are of the Orang Asli said to have died over the past months. Now, strict checks will be carried out on vehicles entering the village.
So this is becoming a bit of a litmus test on the new government, because as we know, they came in on a mandate, on a campaign promises of looking after the livelihoods and of the fortunes of the Orang Asli. This is a classic case of big corporations, ostensibly, versus the small guy, the villagers in this case, the Orang Asli. How the government handles this very delicate issue, because it's blowing up now, right? It's going to be very telling, because is this a case of promises kept or promises not kept?
Okay, yeah, and also we see all the promises that were made. For example, the attention that has been made over the Orang Asli community in previous election. We saw Cameron Highlands. This has become it became a center point of the sort of election campaign. That's right. But also, there's also a need to also look into how government is addressing this issue. For example, if it's an issue of pollution, we had Sungai Kim that happened recently in Johor as well. A lot of people are on the front line on this matter. And again, it sounds like, right measures have to be taken, make sure that it's safe for those who are actually investigating this issue.
Yeah, ironically, Pakatan Harapan seem to be taking strong action and promoting the rights of Orang Asli, because in January, they filed a suit against the Kelantan state government for violating the land rights of the Termia Orang Asli community in Gua Musang. But now some of the NGOs view the situation as like the same under Barisan National Rule. I mean, Jaringan Kampung Orang Asli Semenanjung Malaysia Chairman Tija Yok Chopil said that, "We understand Pakatan Harapan has just become government, but as a small community that has been oppressed for a long time, we feel the slow progress of Pakatan's government in the period of either 100 days or 10 months reflects that there are not many changes made for the Orang Asli community."
Well, is it a case of too little, you know, too much on their plate and too little time? Or is this a case of basically taking it one step at a time and being very careful about handling a potentially delicate situation? Because it's unfolding as we speak, right? We don't yet know the full root cause, and we can't be too quick to put blame on one side or the other in this particular case. So investigation has to take place, inquiries have to take place, and maybe it's a question of, you know, getting ahead of ourselves. Do you think that's a matter of that happening?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but if we recall, the initial sort of reason that came out from the government, or the justification that came out from the government as to their reaction, was that as Kuala Koa is located in a very remote area. That's number one. But if again, it's hard when you know in this information age, you can easily identify where Kuala Koa is. For example, it is not far away from the Gua Musang highway. And again, it's a matter of just taking up responsibility real quick, and again, just owning up to it. And I think there is justification. There is valid justification on government being new to addressing issues such as this. It's been 1 year on. However, it's just a matter of being transparent, being open about it, and being receptive to any comments and suggestions.
I think just because it's somewhere far away and away from transport is no excuse to treat these people this way. right? Especially since this was part of Pakatan Harapan's manifesto to improve the rights of orang asli. Now you have discovered this, do something and do it quickly. And be, and like what you said, Sharitz, be transparent about it. Because whatever said and done, the orang asli are probably one of the worst off groups in Malaysia in every aspect. Life expectancy, health, economy, education. Everything. Education, they're left behind.
No question. And I think in certain pockets of government, I mean, recently, the question of plastic dumping and illegal plastic dumping and recycling sites was very quickly moved upon by the ministry at the time. I think it was Yeo Bi-yin's ministry. And obviously, that was one case where business and plastics, illegal plastics recyclers were on one side, and then the plight of the citizens, the residents on the other. Clearly, the government is quite quick to handle that particular situation. So, is this a parallel? Maybe, because really, if you have mining activities polluting the water there, it's not going to be too good for the residents. Okay, it is 7:28 in the morning. We're going to be coming back with more business news. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.